Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast. You're with Rach and Dean, and we've got Cal in the studio.
Tomorrow, Cal turns 40. I don't know what's more annoying, the cats or the dogs. This is
Happy birthday.
It's your birthday tomorrow, Cal. Happy birthday.
The big 4-0.
Thank you. That soundtrack was like every morning when I wake up and two of my dogs wake up and they're like, he's up, time to eat. And then they run to the
other room. Oh, so you get sung to every single morning.
Yeah, yes, that's definitely how I view it. Yes.
Well, yes, tomorrow you are turning naughty 40.
Yeah.
And we have decided what we're going to talk about today, because you're from Well, 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 Joy's health and well-being show, is little health things you need to think of when you turn 40, which slightly terrifies me because I'm 45 and I've thought of nothing. And you're already like, this all came about because I started doing things. And I'm like, wait, we were meant to look after our health? Like, what am I meant to have done? So let me just get the notepad and pen out. I need to put together a list.
Well, look, I was going to go, I had a whole different order planned, but we're going to start with skin checks because of this conversation. Which is actually what prompted me to think about health checks at 40, was that I was due for a skin check. Coming from the Northern Hemisphere and coming to Australia, and we, you know, obviously have much stronger sun down here. I have a lot of like moles and marks on my back, and I play water polo outdoors
sometimes.
Probably
nipples.
So yeah, well, we checked, and the verdict is no nipples, no melanoma, no skin, no issues there.
So excellent.
Which is great news.
What can I ask? What's a skin check like? Because in my mind, because I haven't had one, and I've been thinking, okay, I need to get. We should all get this done when we need to. And my theory is, are you just standing naked in front of someone and they look over your entire body with a magnifying glass?
I mean, and I'm perfectly fine from being stalkers, but you're basically wearing a pair of jocks, and they'll ask like, do you have any that you know you would want us to look at if it's on your butt or whatever, and things like that. And no, I'm fine. But what they do is they basically look at you with like a tiny microscope and whatnot. Now, some dermatologists will even, it's like a, you know, like you ever look at like old school photos where like they like use a, it's called a loupe, and it's like a little magnifying glass. They kind of look at it with that to see kind of closer so that they can see variations on it and see, because it's abnormalities. Like if it's perfectly round, that tends to be just a old mole or something. But you know, if it's got a weird irregular shape, then they kind of go, hang on a second here, let's have a closer look. But yeah, some of them will take a picture as well. He even took a picture on my phone because of the ones on my back, so that if I go and take a picture and say a year from now, I can kind of cross compare to see
if they,
but like back in the day, I think the last time I had a dermatologist one, I didn't have, you know, smartphone, because ages ago, and they gave me photos to kind of take away from it and whatnot. But
brilliant.
See, I have fear with the comparison thing because I'd constantly be looking at it and assuming something's wrong. I'm that hyper paranoid person.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you don't spend too much time with, I mean, you can kind of, if there's kind of a questionable one, you can always ask your GP as well, and they may give you a referral onto a dermatologist, which is how you know you usually go for any kind of specialist appointment. And that's the other thing, is have a conversation with your GP to see what you should be checking for too.
Yeah.
Because there are some things that it depends on, you know, once you get to 45, Dean, as well. Actually, in Australia.
Oh my God, I've got to think of worse things.
No. This is sort of a good news story. So you may actually be eligible for a health risk assessment based on your current state of health and your family history, that sometimes they'll do a deeper health assessment. And you do have to talk about it at your GP, but that is, you know, a bit like mental health, how if you want to have a mental health care plan, you can get referred and you get 10 sessions for Medicare. Care, which again, an important check to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're in your later half of your 40s, you may be eligible for a free health assessment based on your family's history and your current state of health.
Wow. So
have you ever had a health check like this, Rach, or something like that?
No, I need to get a skin check done because I you saw me look at my wrist. Yeah. I don't wear a watch. However, I've always had a freckle that I call my, I've got it at the time as a hair past a freckle, and it has changed shape in
Last
year. And I am a person who has spent my whole life in the sun. I'm very much a summer baby. So I need to get something like that checked out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine actually, when he was having, I know we're sticking still on skin checks, but went and just to get a skin check done. And the doctor was just like, this, what is it? And just, oh no, they weren't getting a skin check. They were going for a normal GP check. And then the GP was like, this is odd, took it out. And it turns out it was a melanoma. Oh, wow. And was just like, that's too suspicious. Let's not leave it in. Let's get that sorted. And it's really, it's just worthwhile to get these things looked at.
Absolutely. And look, there are all sorts of like basic things that you should be doing all the time. So like dental every year, you know, some people, if you have extras cover, you can do it twice a year. And they'll do a clean and all that stuff, and it's covered by your extras. But if you don't have extras, at least once a year is ideal. Every 2 years, once you hit 40, blood pressure, cardiovascular risk or heart disease risk test.
All right, I'm two of those behind. Cool. Aww. And dentist, since COVID lockdowns, I haven't gone to my dentist, so I need to get onto that as well.
Well, definitely onto that one. Eye tests are about every 2 years, especially once you get 40, just because you'll start to have degeneration in your eyes, and so you want to make sure you stay up on top of that. And like a kidney check is also really good idea every couple of years, especially based on family history as well.
You know what?
And is that just a urine test, the kidney one?
The kidney one, that one I think it might be first pass, and there may be bloods involved as well.
Yeah, I think it's blood and first urine from the last time I had to have it.
Yeah.
You know the I forgot where my brain is going. It's gone.
That's it. We'll come back to it. Now, every 3 years, after 40, check for diabetes risk assessment as well. Just checking for that. Every 5 years, they'll check cholesterol and lipids as well.
What are lipids?
Lipids are like, I'm going to just scientifically get that wrong. So I'm actually not going to put myself up and define them.
Google it, everyone. Yeah, Google lipids.
But then there's parts.
Lymphs?
Well, so it's kind of like...
Don't trust me. I'm not a science person.
Lipids are fatty compounds that perform a variety of functions in your body. They're part of your cell membranes and help control what goes in and out of your cells.
So check out your love handles. Lovely. Thank you.
There you go. And then there's part-specific risks as well. So every 5 years, if you've got a cervix... you should be doing a cervical screening.
Wonderful.
And especially if your last one came up with negative and no negative results, the follow-up may be shorter if you've had questionable things in the past.
You know the thing that I always think of in men's health, which I don't think is till after 50, so I'm going to get closer to it than you are, Cal. But the minute we thought checkups, then my immediate thought was prostate. Because that's the only, but one I see all the time.
The look on Cal's face tells me that there might be information.
Yeah. So prostate is actually interesting. There's no conclusive evidence around the frequency of prostate testing, but if you have any symptoms of potential prostate issues, most common one being if you're getting up to pee more than twice a night with consistency and some of the other issues that come up, then they would go and look at your prostate in that instance.
Fair enough. If you're a man and you're not pregnant and you're peeing twice a night, probably.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. And then all of the other bibs and bobs, you know, self-checks for breasts, self-checks for testicles, depending on your, checking that can be something, you know, you do really kind of monthly. I mean, I know that that's probably not a lot. Most people won't keep up to that with some frequency. But again, if you have anything questionable, the conversation starts with your GP. And the other one, which I would go amiss with being Thorn Harbor Health, is if you're sexually active, every 3 months, be getting an STI check. Yeah. And if you're not that active, at least once a year.
All right.
This is a really comprehensive list, and I have to start with all of it, it seems. I'm terrified.
That is concerning, Dean. But I hope you do go and get everything checked.
It's just, I will. I think I just need to make a plan before the end of the year.
And talk to your doctor.
Check what I can get through my health provider.
Yeah.
And talk to my GP and figure stuff out.
Because they'll talk through things like your family history, the current state of health. They'll do some basic checks and they'll assess whether or not you need to go on and do all the others.
The thing for my brain is the fact that COVID lockdowns meant my regular appointment schedule got thrown out the window. So all that had to restart again. And also because of that, my GP retired. So many people retired and moved.
No.
And it's kind of like reinventing the wheel. So it's kind of good, which means you've got to start from scratch with new people.
All right. Stick with us, Cal. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Great shows. Great topics. Great radio. Joy 94.9.
Cal, you've given us a whole list of things that you should think about for yourself when turning 40 or just getting older. Rach, anything on the top of that list for you?
Well, there's something else that I want to ask about because you're probably going to have a bit of a big weekend partying, big naughty 40 situation. Are things like partying worse for you the older that you get.
Ooh,
should you be more concerned about things like liver function, for example?
Well, liver function in general, I mean, is something that you can test. You know, like if you've there's kind of symptoms that you would want to have a conversation with your GP, but there's nothing to suggest. I mean, in moderation. You know, yeah. If you're excessively drinking, that's when you're going to, you know, need to be worried about things
like liver damage. But just because you have a big 40th bender.
Yeah, that's a sort of one-off thing. And I'm not a I love a pub beer and whatnot, but I'm not a huge kind of bender person. I'm more the session drinker kind of thing.
I think we know as well, as you get older, your body doesn't bounce back from that
That's probably the biggest thing.
Thinking about, you know, your health overall. Like when you were younger, like newsreader Chris, you can just drink all night long and rock up to work and it's completely fine. You can't do that as you get older.
And alcohol is associated with inflammation. Inflammation, of course, brings out things.
Is it?
Yeah, is this news to you?
Yes. Oh, okay. Both Rachel and my faces are like, what?
Yeah, it's associated with inflammation.
Really?
Yeah,
100%.
I thought things like red wine was like, not good for you, but like produces
okay,
well, things like that.
Well, you remember that what's in red wine that makes it good for you, quote unquote, is not the alcohol.
No.
Okay, so.
I mean, but how many bottles should Rach have it? That's the question.
I think it was like a glass to two, you know, depending on your. But yeah, there's an association. Yeah. I will, when I run on next, I will bring you information about alcohol and inflammation.
So it's not that people get beer bellies, they're just.
No, that's 100%.
I had a beer belly. Now it's just fat. But yeah, it absolutely still happens.
Well,
that's the difference of like, you get beer bellies is associated, and that's a whole other conversation around fats. Okay, now I've got leads for the next two health spots that we'll discuss subcutaneous versus, what are good fats and bad.
That's already such a technical word.
Sorry.
I need to just play this one more time.
Happy birthday for tomorrow, Cal.
Thank you.
Naughty 40.
Hope you have the best day. Hope your dog wakes you up singing just like these ones. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.